In just a few minutes here, I'm going to be speaking to Christian Stokes. Christian is the PR director of the Mortuary Haunted House. The Mortuary is ready for your business, and their theme this year is Hellection 2024. We'll learn what new frights are on tap this year from Christian, and you can tell us, and I know you're going to have some fast answers for this, what scares you about the real election? Forget about the hellection that they're having at the mortuary this month. What frightens you about the real election that were actually happening? And I'm throwing a wide net here. So if you want to call in and say, I'm afraid that Harris is going to win, or I'm scared that Donald Trump is going to win, okay, we can have that conversation. But there probably are actually some legitimate fears out there. You know, maybe it's, are we going to be in a season of political violence here? Like, I don't love thinking about these things, generally, but it's not impossible to imagine how we've already had two assassination attempts. God forbid there be another. Or something else like January 6th or some other kind of riot. I really hope and pray that whatever happens after November, it's peaceful. I'm not saying it's not going to be contentious. I think half the country is going to be real upset either way. But what scares you about the real election? We'll have that conversation the rest of this hour. And I did also have pulled up here. Oh, let's see. Oh, did I want to read some of these? No, I'll get to those in a second. I saw this in my email this morning. What's it called? 8 oddly specific fears that we hadn't considered until now. Coleman, you got any fears? You got any phobias?
Yeah.
You want to share that?
I'll share one of them.
Okay.
I'm afraid of speed traps.
Speed traps?
Yeah, you know those little speed traps that they have in certain areas of the city? And
when you go in a school zone and they take a picture and they send you a ticket?
I have an irrational fear of speed
traps. You have an irrational fear of that? Like that keeps you up at night?
No, well, I do. Sometimes I do lay up and I think about how could we disable them? Like, could I spray paint the camera?
Coleman,
throw a towel over it? Stuff like
you
that.
You can't do that.
I know I can't do it, but I fantasize about it because I don't like speed traps.
All right. I don't really want to press the matter further about what your other phobias are that you don't want to tell us about.
Oh, roaches.
Oh, nobody likes roaches.
It's not necessarily I'm afraid of them. It's just that they're so unpredictable. You never know when they're going to show up and how they show up. Sometimes I see them in places like, how'd you even get there?
I wonder that too. Like, how did you get up here? You know, here we are in a 30-story office building, and it's happened before. Not recently, not often. But sometimes you'll see a cockroach up here.
I have twice.
And I'm like, how did you get up here? You must have walked up all those flights of stairs. You came in through the walls or a pipe or something. How did we get a cockroach all the way up here?
Well, I don't want to be that guy, but sometimes I think they hitch a ride on the employees, maybe.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, somebody in the WWL office is bringing cockroaches with them to work. I don't like to think about who that could be. Cardosi, you there?
Been here.
You got any fears? You got any phobias you want to tell us about?
You know, I don't have any. I miss having irrational fears like, oh, I'm showering, I'm going to turn around and there's a ghoul. But, you know, now it's just like the ceaseless march of time and stuff. I'm 42. I'm not really that scared of, you know, ghouls and goblins.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm just like, man, are these hairs are just going to keep falling out, huh?
Oh, yeah. I wake up and every day I can stand up less and less straight. So eventually I'm just going to be a giant C.
Oh,
that's scary.
Yeah. My knees are in bad shape. My feet are in bad shape. And I'm like, you know,
I don't breathe well.
I don't breathe well either, man. I take care of my body, but this thing is starting to get a little rattle in it. Well, hey, look, I read this story this morning about 8 oddly specific fears, unusual fears or phobias that you never shared. We'll go through some of these. Here's somebody that says, when I was younger, I had a really weird and silly irrational fear that I would be the first recorded case of asexual reproduction in humans because I read about it happening in other animal species. This person's afraid of like a immaculate conception. That's keeping them up at night.
That would scare me if I just woke up pregnant, had no reason why.
That would be pretty weird, Coleman. Somebody else is afraid of, they say, when I'm driving too slow for some people and they decide to switch lanes to speed around me, I have an irrational fear that they might shoot me as they pass me up. I don't think that's an irrational fear. You hear about people, you know, got road rage. You know, it's like if you do something rude or untoward on the road. I hate that this is, you know, the society we live in, but you're taking a chance that somebody might, you know, give you the bird or try to run you off the road or shoot you. It's happened. I think somebody got prosecuted for this a while ago for pulling out their gun and shooting somebody in a road rage incident.
That draws out another irrational fear that I think I'm developing now. I don't know what it is, but just the current climate of society, I'm afraid to be in elevators with women, like unattended, like by myself, because they can, like, I had this fear like they might go and say I did something that I never did. So sometimes when I see a woman going to the elevator, I just take the next one.
You take it.
Yeah, I said, I'll take the next one. I stall, but that's a recent one.
Oh, wow. Here's one that says, any toilet I sit to use would have a snake come out of the water and bite my vulnerable parts. I'm bothered by this so much that I continually check the water while I do business, and sometimes the fear is so strong I hover over the toilet. You ever been scared something's going to jump out of the toilet?
In fourth grade, I had that fear.
Yeah, I think I remember. Hey, Cardosi, I know you got a job to do in there. You're also scared of toilet animals?
I mean, you know, depending on how drunk I am, I might still get that one back. And depending on how divey the bar I'm in is.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty shady dive bar bathrooms. That is absolutely true. Here's someone that says, I'm afraid of a tunnel, like a round slide, the water slide, the normal kind. I have a fear that either someone is waiting in the slide for me to come down and they'll stop me mid-slide and attack me, or that people have put razor blades in the slide that will slice me up as I go down the slide.
Oh, God.
I remember that. I remember we used to go to like an aquatic center in Albuquerque, I think it was. And I remember, I think it was like an urban legend. It was like a rumor going around amongst the youths that, you know, I heard a kid died here last summer because he went down the water slide and there was razor blades sticking out.
I heard that more about Halloween candy. And a part of me, after I got older, I was like, you know what? If you can insert a razor blade into Skittles, you earned it.
Yeah, how are you going to, one of the giant Skittles, maybe.
Maybe.
You hear about a razor and an apple. Hey, man.
But wouldn't it be obvious if you can put a razor in candy, like the package would be disturbed? Like, how did they seal it back up? Like, how would they be able to do that? Even if they put it in an apple, they have to slice it a certain way, right?
Yeah, and if you put, you know how apples will kind of, like, if you make a cut in it, like, it'll turn brown and then it'll get a bit whiter. If you actually go to the trouble of inserting a razor blade into an apple, you will damage the hell out of that apple. It will be immediately apparent.
Well, I did see this happen in school. I was in sixth grade. One of the teachers had a drink with a straw in it and left the room. And one of the students untangled a paperclip, like straightened it, and put it in the straw. So when the teacher went to sip and it hit the roof of their mouth, of course the kid got in trouble,
oh,
but
God,
I've actually seen that happen.
That's terrible.
It was horrible.
That kid's definitely in prison now for something.
Yeah, I guarantee you that student is definitely in prison today.
Good.
If they're still alive.
Good. There was a girl in my seventh grade class who took a sewing needle. I'm not even going to tell this story. I don't want to give any stupid kid a stupid idea. Let's see. Are there any more of these? Here's somebody that says, I'm terrified of bouncy castles. I'm terrified of boats and hot air balloons, not just because they go in the air, but because of the giant, massive fabric balloon they use. Scares me. Another person says, I remember we would stay inside the bouncy castle when they deflated it, and that is claustrophobic AF. You're stuck under that heavy material with no way out and complete darkness. Was pretty stupid looking back on it now, actually. Oh, my God. Make sure your bouncy castle is empty before you deflate it, bouncy castle operators. I know there's definitely one of you listening. You know who you are. I hope you're making sure there's no small children in your bouncy castles before you deflate it. Over on the text line, here's this text says, you won't see a razor slit in a candied apple. Well, don't give them ideas.
All right, there's the Joker.
Yeah, what are you, is this a supervillain? This is a texter that's always with us too. 7662. You got some evil designs out there, bud. Here's a text that says, you three should do a show, LOL. Well, thank you.
That's literally what we're doing right now, right?
Yeah, this is it.
We're doing a show, yeah.
We made it happen.
We did it, you guys. Here's a text that says, I have what I like to call reverse acrophobia. I can be on top of a tall building, look down, and nothing is wrong. But if I'm on the ground looking up at a really tall building, my body will go into a shock and will not let me look up. Wow.
Well, have you done a thing where you looked up at a tall building? I've done this in Chicago, and like when the clouds pass over the building, it gives the illusion like the building is moving forward. Have you ever seen that
illusion?
Oh,
yeah. It looks like it's like tipping over on you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's scary. A texter says, a few minutes ago, he said people are scared of snakes and rats popping out of toilets. This texter says, that's from the movie Rattlesnakes. LOL. Look it up. Have you guys seen Rattlesnakes?
No, but I think I just had it in my mind. I think that's just a common fear, and someone finally committed it to film.
Didn't they also do that in Snakes on a Plane?
Yes.
The snake came out of the toilet?
Yes.
I got to go back and see Snakes on a Plane again and see how it held up.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not a film classic, but if fear turns up with your friends, it's a hell of a fun time.
Yeah. I remember, you know, it. The irony of it was so alluring when it first came out. They're like, you won't believe that they actually made a movie about snakes on a plane, and they just dead-ass called it Snakes on a Plane. Everyone loved that, but I wonder if the movie actually
Well, Snakes on a Plane had to walk so Cocaine Bear can run.
Spot on, my friend. And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, come on, guys. You're talking about your knees and legs and growing old. I'm 75 years old, and I'm at the gym right now working out. Get yourselves together and grow old strong. I love that message. I'm doing my part. Coleman and Cardosi are close at hand. We'll step away here and come back, thank you guys, with Christian Stokes. Christian is the PR director of the Mortuary Haunted House. We're going to learn more about what they got on tap. Their theme this year is Hellection 2024, in case the real world election wasn't scary enough. That's coming up. Let's go back to Joe and get a look at traffic, and I'll be back right after this. Stick around. Have some Rob Zombie, why don't you? Slaps. We'll be playing some more, you know, Halloween scary themed music as the month goes on. A couple texts here I want to just talk on real quick. We've been talking about irrational fears. Here's one that says, I have an irrational fear of winning an Academy Award when the Academy finds out how well I've acted around my friends, thinking I care about their problems and how well I've listened. They would give me an Oscar. That is an unusual phobia. Here's a text that says, I wear my seatbelt because I have a fear of spontaneously jumping out of the car on the interstate. That is an unusual fear. Thank you for sharing. Keep that buckled up. And then we talked about snakes and rats popping out of toilets. This text message says, snakes actually do go through toilets. It has happened before. It's not just a myth. So just when you thought you were safe, it turns out snakes actually do come out of toilets. Yikes on bikes. Joining me on the line right now is the public relations director for the Mortuary Haunted House. His name is Christian Stokes. Christian, welcome to the show. Nice meeting you.
Hey, how's it going? Actually, I'm the entertainment director. Ben, our public, he'd hunt me down.
Entertainment director. We will update that. Coleman, let's make sure we get that on the pod. Great. Thank you.
Wait, also, is this the same Stokes that was in Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah, I thought I recognized your voice on the phone. Hey,
no
nice
kidding.
To meet you again. I met him at the mortuary with Austin a couple years ago. Yeah, pretty cool guy. I follow him on Instagram. Right.
Hey, how about that? Hey, we got a legit celeb in the house. Yeah, somebody texted in earlier and said you're a great actor in addition to the work you do at the Mortuary Haunted House. How's bookings been, man? You doing okay?
Oh, listen, you know, it's been slow this season, but I'll tell you, Five Nights has taken care of me, and Blumhouse, who produces that film, they haven't forgot us. So That's good, man. We're getting through the rough patch.
Good, good. Yeah, I got a good touch on the sequel. I haven't heard back yet, but fingers crossed. Anyway, to the business here. Okay, so let's talk about this Ding Ding Haunted House you got. I wasn't able to go on Friday. You had some folks over there for media night, but I did go last year, and I do intend to go again this year. So let's just talk about, we'll start with the theme. The theme this year is Hellection. It's blending political satire with some apocalyptic elements. You got this whole thing about the four horsemen. How we came up with this concept and what visitors can expect when they come see you.
Well, you know, every year we come up with about a half dozen concepts and we start playing with as the season goes by. And, you know, it's just kind of, we want to be relevant and we want to be unique. So we came up with this idea, what crazier time than to kind of dig into an election theme. And we call it Hellection 2024. And though we don't get right into the political bent, we kind of make fun of the whole process. We have our own election going on here. And it's basically you're voting on the destroyer of the worlds. And that is you choose between one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, death, whether it be death or famine or war or pestilence.
Pestilence.
So those are your candidates.
Pestilence is the most kick-ass horseman in my estimation. Okay, so tell us more about the voting. So, I got more questions about this, but just tell us how the voting process actually works. You got, because people come and they queue up in this line, and then you go into the haunted house in these small groups, and then at the end, people are casting ballots for their chosen horseman?
So they choose their path, in essence. So they vote by the directions that they go. So at the very beginning, when they walk into the house, they have to make a choice between good and evil, left or right. Ooh. And you have two various entrances that's going to pretty much paint your path.
Okay. So I could
keep it interesting in that regard.
Oh yeah, and we don't give anything away. You know, we want to leave some meat on the bone, please. We want people to come see the haunted house and still be surprised. So
Absolutely. So
I could go to the haunted house and I can choose to be on the side of good.
Yeah, that's the hope. Now, is evil going to allow you to get through? Now that's the real question.
Okay, I was like, if I choose to be on the side of good, and then I go through the rooms, and it's all just like, there's a lunch buffet and maybe like a lazy boy. And it's, I was like, I don't know, man. I thought I was paying for something else. Okay. So
I've been to some scary lunch buffet.
You and me both, brother. Let's see. Okay. So the election theme is not at all about our election. Like, you're not going to have people in there with like a Donald Trump mask or a Kamala Harris mask or something, right? This is a totally different concept. Yeah.
We play with tropes like the devil you know, literally, and the devil you don't. So we have kind of a we have this spin room that we created, like an election desk with a newscaster who is basically possessed and being controlled by the devil you don't, which we paint as AI.
Whoa.
So we've got a lot of really cool concepts. We got the throne of lies, where the devil you know sits and has court. You go through the hall of cabal with a bunch of shadowy hooded figures that might or might not look familiar if you look very, very closely.
Oh, man. Ooh, I'm sold. That sounds great. Ooh, hooded figures.
And, of course, we've got undead Uncle Sam. You can't go wrong without Uncle Sammy, right?
Zombie Uncle Sam. I can't wait. Okay, so let's talk about the facility, Christian, because I think it is one of the most, if not the most famous, well-regarded haunted house in the area. But it has a really interesting history, having originally been an actual mortuary. So how do you incorporate that as the entertainment director? How do you pull the building's history into the attraction that it is today?
Well, I tell you what, the mortuary, this building, this house, is just as much a part of the experience as, you know, having the actors in costume and the makeup and the special effects. This house has an energy that will blow your mind. Yes, from 1930 to 2004, this was an actual working mortuary. There have been 20,000 funerals held in this place. The original embalming room is still downstairs, and it's part of the haunt. So we've got stuff coming at you in there. And here's the trick is that this is a haunted house. We've had all kinds of experiences, not only just employees but guests as well, so you don't always know what that is that's jumping out of the corner sometimes.
Dude, that's nuts. Your haunted house is actually haunted. How many other people can say that?
I know, it's very unique. We've had some of the ghost adventure groups come through and they all come back positive. We've caught some pictures of some extraordinary, crazy apparitions. In fact, 2 years ago, I got a picture of a ghost dog. Imagine that.
A ghost dog? Oh, man. I can see it. Ghost dog. Fridays on ABC, like it's a television show or something. I would watch that. I would watch that show.
I would too, actually. I'm glad you said that.
Christian.
I'm going to call my agent.
Yeah. Well, bring me along for the ride, please. So as the entertainment director, what is your job specifically? Are you involved in the design or the sort of like game theory of it? Like, what do you do there?
I am. So at the beginning of the year, you know, this is almost a year-long process. As soon as we close doors on one year, we set into motion coming up with the different concepts for the next year. I usually come up with about a half dozen concepts, iconic characters, catchphrases, and I send it up to our owner, Jeff Bourne. And Jeff over the period of the next couple of months. We brainstorm and we narrow that down to a couple of themes. We go yearly to the Trans World Convention. It's got all kinds of new and upcoming haunted house masks, makeup, special effects. And once we get there, we kind of lean into our decision and we slide into it. At that point, I fill the house with the characters. I come up with the backstories, come up with some of the log lines. We'll put together a commercial in July that I believe you're starting to see those commercials on TV now. Mm-hmm. So it's a process. Then when we get down to it, I actually do the casting. I do all the casting calls and I cast folks. And when we get into the run of the haunt, I manage the whole thing, manage the cast and crew and schedules and all that good stuff.
So I got to imagine then you're already staffed up for this year. But if there's somebody listening and this is tickling their fancy and say, man, I want to audition for a haunted house next year.
Sure.
What are the requirements? Like, what's the audition like?
Well, one of the interesting things is that it's Halloween, so it's a seasonal job. So people come and they go. So we're always looking. Even now, we're looking. So if someone wants to check in on that, they can go to themortuary.net, www.themortuary.net, and we've got an employment tab, and that'll come to me, and I'll call them in for an audition. What the audition consists of is I just kind of pick their brain about their favorite horror movies and if they've worked in haunts or experienced haunts before. And then we do some fun little improv stuff where I see what they're made of when it comes to using a prop and a character to try to scare the bejesus out of me.
Man, that's cool. What a cool job you have.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So if anybody wants to get involved, they go to themortuary.net and tap employment and then get ready to come in and try and scare Christian, do a little bit of improv, you know, a little bit of zip, zap, zop, that kind of stuff. All right. So
yeah, the fun stuff.
Great. The aim is to scare people. You want people to come away feeling entertained, you know, and frightened a little bit. But safety is really important, right? Tell me about like 100%. how you keep your guests and your actors safe, because I don't know. Maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just kind of a conjecture here. But you can get a lot of mileage out of people feeling like they are not safe. But you don't want to cross into a realm where they're actually not safe and you're actually frightening them because they are in danger. So what steps do you take to ensure the safety of not just your customers, people coming through, but also the performers who are in there? You know, it's dark and it can be kind of some like narrow hallways and stuff. You got these physical interactions that are happening. How do you keep everybody safe in there?
Sure. Well, and, you know, my background is a stuntman. So that's how I got into the acting stuff.
Nice.
And so when we do our gigs on the screen, it looks real, but we take every precaution and it's not real at all. You know, we surprise, surprise, we pull our punches. The same can be said here. We want to get the effect that people are fearful. We want to, you know, we want people to feel that pressure when they come in. But what we don't do is we don't want people running to the house. We don't want people getting to the point that, you know, they're having a hard time controlling themselves. So we have people throughout the house. It's not completely dark. We have lights where that you can see where you're going that leads along the way. I've got various people throughout the house that are there. You know, the other night I heard somebody like, I'm scared, I need out. And so we just, you know, escort them out, make sure they're okay. We've got medical staff. We've got police. We've got the whole nine yards. So we're there. If anybody needs anything during their experience here, we're there to help them out. So they can't move 2 feet without one of us being close enough to assist them if need be.
Very cool, man. Great, great, great. And you have to kind of you're thinking about the different ways that you can scare people. You know, you can scare some people by like jumping out very suddenly and there's a man with a chainsaw.
Sure.
Or you can create a sort of more foreboding, environmental, psychological fear. How do you mix those two elements? Are you thinking about, oh, we did a jump scare here, so we better do an environmental fear thing here? What's your approach?
100%. So we try to tell a bit of a story, right?
Oh,
and just like in any story, you've got your ups and your downs. You got your tension that builds the climax, that kind of thing. So we do the same thing in here, and we use different techniques. I have what I call my idol actors. They're the main characters. They've got lines. They're creepy. They're, you know, they're all up in your face. They're talking monster trash to you, you know. And then I've got my scare actors. They're characters. You can see it in their form. They're just creepy, coming out of the dark, maybe surprising you. Maybe one's distracting from one end and another person's jump scaring you from the other side. It's like pack tactics. And then we have our scare actors that are jump scares that will jump out of nowhere, make a crazy noise that you're not expecting. So it's really about throwing things at people that they're not expecting. People are expecting to be scared, but they don't know where it's coming from. So we try to get that tension, raise it up, and then come at them from some place that they're not expecting.
I love this. I'm so excited. I'm not bluffing. I can't wait to come in there and check it out. I love this kind of stuff. I'm a haunted house enthusiast. I'm an escape room enthusiast. I just get such a thrill out of this. Okay, just kind of running out of time here, Christian, but I did also want to ask about technology. How important is technology in like a modern haunted house? Are there new technologies coming out that you see out in the wild and you say, oh, that would be perfect for my haunted house?
You know, for us, we're blessed in the fact that our owner, Jeff Bourne, owns PSX, which is audio visual company that puts in film and TVs and speakers in various casinos and theme parks around the world. So we get to use some of that technology in here. We like to use a lot of projection. We like to use a lot of immersive experiences. In fact, when you walk into our spin room, it looks like a news desk. It's got the breaking news on the back. It's got the video showing of various presidents giving speeches, but they're a little off. They're not quite the way you remember them. And then on the walls, we're projecting war and famine and plague and just doomsday. So we completely immerse people in some of these experiences using projection and using some of this technology that Jeff has developed over the years.
You mentioned earlier, or maybe you didn't mention it, but I saw it on your website somewhere, there's some sort of AI implement here, or that's part of the scare. Yeah. Is that also something that you see an opportunity to like actually fold AI technology into the experience?
Well, and you know, so AI technology for us, obviously, we've all seen The Terminator, and we've all heard the horror stories of what we believe could happen if AI takes over. So we lean into a little bit of that horror trope here with our The Devil You Don't Know, which is our artificial intelligence. We actually have represented in the form of a giant brain with a single eye that's controlling people. So that's from a performance standpoint, but also, as we're creating these things, sometimes we'll use AI just to bounce ideas, to see if we can come up with different concepts that haven't been thought through. We'll run some ideas through AI to see if it'll be more well-rounded.
Sure.
So it's gotten to the point that AI itself has become quite the tool in some regards. But I'm a big fan of using people in terms of writing and creating, and then using it to just fine tune.
Yep, absolutely. I kind of take the approach like if somebody couldn't be bothered to write it, I'm not going to take the trouble to read it. Okay, right. Last one, Christian, here. So just tell us about like what the dates are, how people can get tickets, logistical concerns, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You can find all of those dates online at themortuary.net. And in fact, we're going to be open this weekend. It'll be tomorrow, Friday, the 4th, Saturday the 5th, and Sunday the 6th. We're open tomorrow at 6:30, and we're open at 6 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Our tickets are $25 before 7 o'clock, $35 after 7 o'clock.
That's a great price.
Let's see. That's it. And you know, listen, we got this blood drive going on out here. If you really want to get a deal, we got a blood drive. If you go and you give blood, you get yourself a VIP ticket. And you can go right in the house without even skipping the line. And then you're helping somebody to boot.
I love it. This is the best kind of thing. Christian, I've really enjoyed speaking with you. The audience is loving it as well. Christian Stokes is the entertainment director for the Mortuary Haunted House. Thanks for your time, your work, and your way. We'll be following your acting career, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you. Have yourself a wonderful day.
You do the same, brother. Take good care. When we come back, I'll read a couple more of your text messages about your irrational fears, your actual fears about the actual 2024 presidential election, and I'll take a couple of your more phone calls as well. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot on WWL, and I'll be right back after this. Just a few minutes left here on WWL, The Scoot Show, with your guest host, Ian Hoke. Before we hand over to Chris Miller, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Howard in Texas. Howard, welcome back. You're on the air.
Well, look, I'm afraid of a national health care system led by something like Dr. Margus.
Oh, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine them rolling out Dr. Margus at a White House press conference or something and having him explain what? Oh, geez, Louise.
Here's something for real. I own a mausoleum in a cemetery, and it got two slots. And when you bury another family member, you have to take out a previous coffin, right?
Yes, okay, I think so. Yeah.
You got to wait, and they remove the monument deal at the front of the mausoleum, and then they pull the coffin out. They put it, and then. Yeah, looking at a cousin that died something like 40 years ago, okay?
Okay.
You open the coffin.
Mm.
And the people helping to dispose of the remains. Now, people don't know that the remains are put in a bag and put down in a tomb called a kavod. But it just, the doctor took his two fingers and stuck it in the eye sockets.
Oh,
my
man, come
cousin.
On. Ew. Oh. Howard. Ew.
Yes. And then put it in the bag. Now, one thing I have a fear of, opening these tombs in New Orleans to bury people, I'm afraid of a big yellow mist coming out the tomb, and it's yellow fever. And the mist comes out the cemetery and covers New Orleans.
Ah, yellow mist coming out of the tombs and gives everybody yellow fever?
Yeah, I'm not...
Great. Thanks a lot, Howard. I thought we were just going to have a nice conversation about the election or whatever. Now I'm going to be up staring at the ceiling all night thinking about your yellow mist, man. That's scary.
Okay. And real quick, I was a tour guide in New Orleans after I retired from an oil company. And you love bringing people to cemeteries.
Yeah.
And then one thing they want to see is Marie LaRue's grave.
Right.
But the thing they really want to see is the part of the cemetery that they filmed Easy Rider a long time ago, remember?
Absolutely. I've seen it, yeah.
They had a drunken sex scene, okay? But watch out. Don't be... I'm just concerned. I think you ought to just keep tombs closed and not let the yellow mist out.
I think that's sage advice. Thank you so much, Howard. Anybody listening that's around tombs, just keep them closed. Keep them closed for now.
Speaking of which, completely unrelated, did you just happen to see Jimmy Carter's latest public appearance?
No.
Oh, all right. I'll show you some.
I saw that.
I don't want to say anything on it.
I saw he turned 100.
Yeah, they rolled him out, and I'll show you some pictures on X.
He looks a little. It's Twitter X, Coleman. We don't call it X on this program. Man, Elon Musk. Just the worst. I'll read a couple quick texts, and then we'll step aside again. Here's a text that says, I'm afraid of swimming in the ocean because I have an irrational fear of sharks. Somebody else said they also have a fear of sharks that only popped up after they saw Jaws.
That's not irrational, though.
Yeah, that's just a fear.
Yeah, sharks are dangerous.
You're allowed to be afraid of sharks. Nobody's going to sweat you about that. Here's a text that says, hey, I hope they have hanging chads at election 2024. That would be scary. Here's a text that says, I'm afraid of the Saints' offensive line after injuries. Maybe also not an irrational fear. I always have a fear of driving off a bridge. I have dreams about it all the time. That's pretty creepy, like if you have dreams about that.
Yeah, that and tunnels.
Tunnels, yeah, people got tunnel fears. Somebody says they have a fear of being falsely accused of a crime. Here's a text that says, I'm afraid of the oil field slowdown if Kamala is elected. And I'll leave you with this one. We were talking about cockroaches. Coleman doesn't like cockroaches. You might want to turn off your headphones for this one, brother.
Okay, I'll stick my fingers in my ears while you...
This text message says, my husband got a cockroach in his ear. Oh, Coleman just made a sad face. In the middle of the night, I could see it, and he was on his knees screaming with pain. We went to the emergency room. Nurses squirted saline in his ear, and it popped right out. Popped out alive on the floor. Ew!
Yeah, I've seen videos like that where people get spiders and like tapeworms stuck in, and they have to put a little solution. And as soon as that solution gets, like, I've seen those videos, so that's, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, look, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you got a cockroach squirming around your ear, you know, just reach over and get the saline solution. Keep it next to your bed, because it could happen to you, man. It could happen to you. We'll be back to say goodbye, the Scoot Show with Ian Hoke. Hey, tomorrow I want to talk about the 9 most endangered things in New Orleans, the 9 most endangered landmarks. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, you know, some things we got to see change in the city. We'll talk about local stuff for a little bit, and we'll try to relax on Free for All Friday. Be right back. James on the North Shore is listening today, and he says, one of my irrational fears is that I'll wake up one day and everyone will claim that I'm crazy and off my rocker, and they will try to put me in a mental institution, LOL. Maybe it's a real fear because I say things people don't want to hear.
He's halfway there.
You and me both, Brother James. I hear you. Hey, coming up next on Sports Talk, Bobby Aber. Oh, wait, no, that's Saturday. What are we doing next? Where is it? Oh, it's Thursday. So they're out at the Treasure Chest Casino. Special weekend kickoff edition of Sports Talk tonight. They're going to count us down to Thursday Night Football with the Bucks and the Falcons. Go check that out and get us amped up for Monday's game against the Chiefs. Go on, get you some. Go hang out with Mike D and Steve G at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill today from 4 to 7. Word. I'm going to be back on the air with you tomorrow. We expect Scoot back shortly. I had such a nice time today. I hope you did too. Check out the podcast. Get the Odyssey app. Stick around for Sports Talk. Thank you, Coleman, Scoot, Diane, and Dan. Peace.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!